Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking to pastors Dan Mekas and John Gregg, two of the district's district facilitators. Before we get into the typical life cycle of a congregation, let's begin by explaining what the district facilitators do and how they can help congregations. Dan, why don't we begin with you?
Thank you, Jeff. District facilitators, we're still kind of in the business of learning what it's all about. John and I have each been doing it for about a year, part-time basis while we each serve at a congregation. We've discovered the main thing we've been doing this first year is a lot of contacts with individual pastors, getting to know the ministries that are going on there and the congregations, and then being involved a lot of times when congregations are going through a call process. But something that's kind of jumped out to us, a need a little bit more recently, is this area of congregations that are struggling. We see a lot of slide in numbers and involvement in our congregations struggling to support themselves and being able, in a sense, how do we exist going into the future? And that's probably one of the main reasons we're doing this podcast today, is to talk about how can we help congregations, and John and I and Randy and Mark are very interested in helping congregations do this. How can we help them when they're starting to struggle a little bit to make a viability in their ministry by partnerships or working with other congregations in ministry?
So let's jump right in there too. John, if you want to take this next one over, what's the typical life cycle of a congregation?
Well, just to add on to Dan's, it's not just the congregations that are struggling. I think a lot of the other congregations are starting to think outside of themselves a little more and how they can support the kingdom. And so trying to connect those churches with needs or with ministries out in the community, in maybe other churches, neighboring churches that can be beneficial for the kingdom. As far as a life cycle, you know, churches tend to start because they get planted because there's a vision for reaching a community. And as that vision starts to grow, the congregation starts to grow, and they kind of have that birth, and then they're young and they're active and they're really intense in their communities. As they get older, they start to settle into some routines, and you know, the vision's still there. They're continuing to connect with people. They've got their ministries that are starting to develop, and all of a sudden they need structure. And so they develop that structure. And unfortunately, as they mature, it's kind of like the life cycle in a person. You've got this adolescence, you've got this adult, you get to that mature and then the empty nesters. And you see that all of a sudden, okay, well, the kids have kind of left the building. You know, and you look around and there's a lot of gray hair, and there's not so much a sense of the vision so much at that point, but it's well, we've kind of been here for a long time. We know everybody. We're comfortable with the way things are, and they lose a little bit of the sight of the vision that they originally started with. And so it becomes a little more dominated by structure. This is how we've always done things. And, you know, you can't change that. And pretty soon, you know, some of the people that have been there for years are starting to die off. And so you're lost your vision. You're losing those relationships. You're kind of disconnected from the community. You still have some ministries you're propping up. But the main thing is that structure. This, you got to follow the rules. You got to stay in line. That there's a board that does that. And they've done that for 50 years. And, you know, even though it hasn't been working in the last 20 years. And so if that continues to go on, what that tends to do is it dwindles a congregation down to just a few people. We see that in a number of congregations in each of our regions, that there's just a few people left there, but they're kind of stuck to, this is our church. This is the way we've always done it. This is where we're going to worship. This is where we want to be buried from, and forget everything else. And so what we're trying to do is figure out, there's two paths that can be taken then. You know, kind of being honest about where you are in that life cycle. If you're starting to decline, okay, what can we do to change that? Well, you got to do something new. and try to figure something out. And oftentimes that would be a partnership that can reinvigorate you and get new life and kind of bring you back into that adolescent time of life when you're got a desire for the vision that's in front of you and a drive for reaching your community with the love of Jesus. Otherwise, it's maybe a partnership, and can somebody help us kind of go our way towards retirement and death, where we just kind of will cease to exist as a church? And unfortunately, too often, I think many of our churches have chosen to do that rather than try to reinvigorate. And so that's really what we've been trying to focus on this last probably 6 months. Yeah. As we've gotten to know a lot of the congregations and the needs in the district.
So I've got to imagine being able to have, and I don't want to say maybe that self-awareness, but knowing how to identify where we are in that life cycle when you're a congregation, that's got to be difficult for a ton of different congregations, right?
Well, yeah, I think too, is what happens is people talk about a life cycle or hear that type of a phrase, they kind of think of this whole chronological thing. So once we reach 25 years, well, here's where we are. And then at 50 years, we're here. And that's really not true in the life of a congregation, because there are so many opportunities for that adolescence or that adult stage to continue on, especially as they find effective and relevant ministries that go on in their communities and among their people, that they can kind of be young for an awful long time. I've seen some congregations, they hit about 20 years old, and it's like they're kind of all packed, ready to pack it in, because they feel like they've done what they can do and have not really taken the opportunity to enjoy the Christian service life and the life of the church that God gives to its fullest.
And some of it is driven by the communities that they're in as well, because we can have a vision for reaching a community, but if the community changes, which the whole world's kind of changed in the last 5 years, the way we want to engage with our community doesn't adjust to our community, then that's kind of the telling point that we're stuck on our structure and what was, rather than going, okay, well, where is God leading us? Rather than, well, God was leading us here, and so we're going to stick with that.
And Dan, I know you talked about the delayed adolescence. This is actually a good delayed adolescence, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, adolescence and young adulthood in church life is fantastic, because that's when it's vibrant and growing, and there's an excitement among everyone.
Yeah, I was Well, my wife and I have 5 children, but my wife has raised 6 kids, and she's still raising one at home right now. And that's the good kind of adolescence that we want in the church.
I know what you're saying there. So talk about, you know, engaging in those partnerships. So how do we do that, and what's needed for that change to happen?
I think a lot of times congregations kind of say, hey, we don't need something like this right now because things are going okay. And then they get to that next step in the life cycle a little bit. And it's like, oh, we used to always do this. You know, isn't that a great memory? But then they don't pick up on doing something actively, which is really probably an ideal time for them to say, how could we benefit from a partnership? But maybe even that other turnaround would be is when we're doing effective ministry and ministry that's connecting with people, how could we help some other congregation to pick up on that? I know the phrase that I hear some people use is, how could we share our DNA of what we're doing right now in ministry with somebody else so that they can see the value and opportunities that are out there? But many times we kind of wait a little bit till later on, and it's like, well, what are we going to do? And we're trying to ask that of other congregations that may be struggling with the same thing. But if we could come together and have some discussions and say, well, what are those needs? You know, where are people at in our communities and in our surroundings? How could we together do this? There's some amazing things that are going on in some congregations. And I know we're going to do some podcasts in the coming weeks a little bit, talking to some different congregations, some pastors and things that are doing these kind of more unique type of partnership ministries. Not all are being, you know, real successful, because there's challenges to them, but they're starting to see the benefits as the congregations work together for God's church and ministry going on.
Right. And I think part of that comes in with having a realistic understanding of where we are. I think you mentioned that earlier. That's probably the toughest starting point is understanding where we are on the life cycle, because so often we're just doing life and we forget why we exist and why we were, what we're to be doing in our communities, why we were planted there to begin with. I'm reminded, I heard this recently, that focus on the past can be good or bad. If we remember the past to create the future, that's vision. Okay, and that's so we can move forward. But if we remember the past, hoping to recreate it, that's nostalgia, and that's what kills churches. We see that awful lot when we're living with my mother-in-law and then dealing with some of that older generations. There's a lot of nostalgia, and that can be good if it's driving you forward. But if it's kind of holding you back and dragging you down and not to letting you move forward, then it becomes a hindrance.
I think a lot of times then in ministry, if we could get congregations back to that, that prayer together and say, Lord, what would you have your church here among us do for your kingdom? And say, having all of our membership praying that and say, it's not all about us being satisfied in the congregational ministry, but what are the opportunities God is giving from ministry in the area that we're at? Are there places that we're missing that we could be doing? And does that involve a partnership? So I think really for prayer on both sides of it, whether we're a congregation that's full throttle ahead right now, praying, is there somebody else we could be working with and encouraging kingdom ministry with? If I'm a congregation that's struggling, say, okay, let's pray about this, Lord. Who would you have us meet up with? How would you have us consult with, talk to, potentially partner with? I think a big area for us is to understand this whole idea of partnerships is not something unique today. Partnerships has been out throughout times of scripture. God has brought people together in ministries. When you think about St. Paul with Timothy and Barnabas, where he worked with these other people, which was all about extending the kingdom in different congregations. If we could start to get back to that type of an idea, a system, or a structure. And maybe I shouldn't use a structure after you used the word structure the way you did. But how can we do this in a way that grows that kingdom? I think it's sad sometimes when we hear, well, I guess our season of ministry is done. And yet they haven't really looked at, the congregations haven't really, and the people haven't prayed about, Lord, is there something that we still have to do in this area? And we may not do it ourselves as St. John's or St. Paul's or St. Matthew Lutheran Church, whatever name of the church is. We may not do it of ourselves, but maybe if we're doing this together, because after all, the fruits of our work are not that we get members for our congregation. The fruits of our work, the souls are one for God's kingdom, in Jesus Christ. And so how can we be wrong in working together when that ultimate end goal is achieved in that way?
Right, because very few of our communities have declined in number over the years, and yet our congregations have. A lot of that is we have not, again, changed our vision as our community changed, but also we've got the silo mentality. We've been in a lot of competition in our churches.
Competition, not collaboration. Really, right. That's kind of what we're talking about today is, what if we would collaborate, work together, because we are working for God's kingdom. If we would do that together, what fruits would that bear for the kingdom?
And we're just kind of starting to scratch the surface of what this collaboration can look like. Anything from, churches sharing ministry, sharing pastors, sharing church worker, different church workers or secretaries, office work, to supporting ministries, to sending people down into a community that they've got a larger church that's doing all kinds of, has people energized for ministry, and there's an opportunity for ministry over there. So, I don't think there's really an end to the types of collaboration we're even looking at. Yeah. We're just starting to see a few different things pop up here and there.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. We've got tons more on partnerships, so check the show notes. We've got more information, including details on connecting with Dan and John and a whole bunch of more valuable information. John and Dan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day.